No, I just announced that the deadline for the written discussion is September 15th. So is there any sort of questions and comments from the group?
Fernando Alvarado. I have three questions for Ms. Ludin Glavich and a couple of questions for Joe Chow. In your paper, you say that you use measurements as and when they are received. Is it possible that it is possible that a newly received measurement may be bad, or that a recent measurement you may realize that is bad once you receive a new measurement? How do you filter out bad data? Question one. You want all three questions at once, or? I'll give all three at once. It is also possible to have synchronized sampling, even though the sampling of the measurements may not arrive at the same time. It's perfectly possible, especially with PMU, that you sample in a synchronous manner all over the system. That would eliminate one of your biases. Is this something you're doing, or something that you could will consider doing? And my third question is that the accuracy of the measurements can be related to how recent an event is. And at some point, if you don't receive measurements from a certain substation, you have to kind of phase it out. How do you remove measurements that become stale, older?
Yes. Thank you. As of bad measurements, at the last slide, unfortunately, I was taking too much time, and actually, in several of the slides, we presented that we use the J index to identify abnormally reconstructed measurements. For the measurements that we are receiving, we didn't do any special bad data processing for now. So the point is that we really for the first time present this this methodology, and we use J-index just to detect abnormally reconstructed values, but for the measurements that are coming, let's say we still rely that the last exact state estimation is doing the bad data processing.
Okay, two quick ones for Joe Chow. One is, why do you say that we can't put a PMU in every substation? And the second question is, you're talking about angle bias as a parameter that you're kind of estimating, and somehow I expect angle bias to be a little more complicated than just a fixed parameter deviation at every given substation. I somehow expect it to be somewhat load dependent, condition dependent. Maybe that's wrong, but I expect it to be that way.
Okay, the first question about why can't you, of course you can put a PMU at every substation if you want, but there are certain times where, I mean, the companies just don't want to do that. And in New York City, the situation gets to be pretty tricky because you can't, there's no space in the substation to put any new instrumentation in. Okay, even though a PMU means you just slide another box into a rack or something. And also in some power systems, you have to wait 6 months for you to hook up a current channel. Okay, so all these things will because of the reliability issues and so on. Okay, so the second question that you have is that the bias actually changes at every sampling time. Okay, and referring to an earlier question that you have for Professor Glavich is that all the PMU data are time tagged, so they may arrive out of sequence, but you can still at the phase of data concentrator and just line them up. Okay, so all the data with the same time tag, you can use it together. And so in some case, in some sense, it is easier to just use a single phase of data because you know that they are all, you know, measure at the same time point. If you try to do it with scalar data, the RTU data that comes in every 5 seconds and they may be stale or other issues. That gets to be a much more difficult problem because you have to try to backspace or whatever. It would be nice if all these RTU data, the SCADA data, is also time tagged that you know that you'll be accurate. You know.
According to information that we have in our... Mavrudin-Glavis from the University of Liège. About the time tagging of the SCADA measurements, we have information that some SCADA, some recent solution provide time tagging, not time synchronization, but they are time tagged. And in the list of our future extensions is also the possibility to exploit the time tagged SCADA measurements within an algorithm.
Okay, Antonio Simões Costa, Federal University of Santa Catarina, Brazil. My question is for Professor Glavic. Congratulations for a very interesting approach for tracking the state estimator now in the presence of... actually, we revisit this tracking state estimator concept now in the presence of PMUs. My question is about the weighting factors that you use in your approach. If I couldn't read your paper in detail, but I understand you use Cartesian rectangular coordinates, right? And then even so, you use a diagonal W weighting factor. Yeah, my concern is that, as Professor Chow has shown us, even PMUs may generate bad data. So at some time you have to use some statistical tests to detect that. So we have to be very careful with the statistical properties. Since what you actually measure is the magnitude and phase, when you translate that to rectangular coordinates, actually it's a sort of a not a trivial assumption to consider that the measurement errors are decoupled. Actually, there is correlation. So in that case, your W matrix would be block diagonal instead of diagonal. Would you comment on the impact of that and if you yep. think this is really an important issue?
Okay, as of measurement weights, as I pointed in the presentation, for now we are not doing any systematic. We are really trying to test the algorithm and if this simple algorithm works or provides the meaningful results using some heuristic weights for the SCADA versus PMUs. And another point that you raised, I fully agree. It's in this formulation, at least in the results that we presented, we are using PMUs that are last recorded PMUs values. But there is certain number of PMUs that are collected in between state reconstruction, and one of the possibilities that to exploit all these measurements in some systematic way, possibly to tune weights for the PMUs, but for the general tuning of the weights, it's work to be done. Yeah.
May I add a clarification? This is Joe Chow. Antonio, the native data in the PMU, the FFT process actually calculates the rectangular coordinates quantity. So, but people can ask for a phasor quantity or the rectangular quantity from the PMU. You have one or the other.
Yes, I also have a question for Mevludin Glavic, Louis Veenkel from University of Liège, Belgium. In your presentation and in the paper, you use a refreshing time of 1 second. And so I was wondering, because the PMU measurements, typically you can get them at much higher rates. So I was wondering whether if you use smaller refreshing delays, whether this would increase the accuracy of your estimator, and how much and how far you can go in that.
Okay. Actually, what we are doing every second is we perform state reconstruction every second. But PMU measurements in our simulation, we assume that we collect them every 0.1 second. So, of course, computational issue that could be associated with this methodology, like running that for the large-scale system. In this stage, what we are thinking is that we don't need to use this methodology for the large, for the system level. We can use that for the part of the system, and then running that at the faster rate. So, of course, this let's say dilemma. Running state estimation more frequently also requires that we have faster algorithms to do that. So in this stage, what we are thinking to apply that for the particular part of the system and to run it at a faster rate. But PMUs are collected at the rate of 100 milliseconds in our simulation. And we expect some improvements in that respect.
Corsi Sandro, I refer to the second paper on the instantaneous computing of the voltage stability indicator. I really enjoy in your introduction because you stress the point to reduce the computing time because. Also, in our paper, my common paper with Glauco, Taranto, so on, we studied the problem and stressed the point to minimize the time interval in which to identify the Thevenin equivalent. Otherwise, this identification is not good. But probably I was not able to follow well your presentation. One thing is to minimize the identification interval in a way to reduce at the minimum interval the identification. That was our effort. But the step to move from this interval to the instantaneous computing is a big step. So probably I do not get something of your papers, or probably the assumption of the about the output of the PMU are different from what are assumed in an iterative procedure for identify the voltage stability indicator and your assumption, because something is not clear to me. Thank you.
So, in distributed voltage stability algorithm, the assumption was delta TS is equal to zero, and we are not saying that it will be very accurate. So, but in the disturbance, our result shows that Thevenin equivalent with estimation will not give you a good result anyway. So maybe follow the delta TS equal to zero and then calculate, which is okay, still showing some result. For wide area, there is no assumption here. So the only thing that we are doing is that get the PMU data and then use the network information, Jacobian matrix, to compute or to generate pseudo measurement. And that pseudo measurement can be used with the enough measurement, and then we can again calculate the Thevenin equivalent directly. So those two are the basically procedure to do that.
University of Athens. My question is also for Professor Anurag Srivastava. I saw in your presentation some statements that I'd like to challenge. You say that for large disturbances we cannot do much, and that for power flow based approaches are not efficient. I know of instances where you have online voltage security assessment based on a detailed system description that they are operating. So I think this is not a problem that is out of, I mean, it can be easily solved. So of course I understand that you follow a different approach, but I should make this clear. Thank you.
Thanks for your comment. So my statement was mainly for PMU, and we perform very comprehensive PMU testing in our lab, and we know that in presence of large disturbance, PMU will not give you a good performance. So if the failure estimation is not correct, anything based on that will also be not correct. So basically, voltage stability not being good based on failure, that was a statement about that. Now, and then for power flow, I said that right now we have a computation, quite good, and we can really calculate very fast. But again, if you're using the power flow approach, you have to do a state estimation, you have to get the data, and then apply the power flow, and there is iteration technique. So it will work, but can we do better than that? So that's what my comment was.
Elizabeth Ratnam, my question's for Professor Glavich. The question is, have you considered the SCADA measurement accuracy relating to transducer accuracy, sampling rates, and data compression, like deadbanding? And I suppose, is that necessary where you're going with the state estimation?
Answer is no, in this stage not, but we are of course planning to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Of Michigan. First question is for Dr. Glavich. So in the algorithm that you're proposing, it seems that you are using older estimates to compute new estimates, along with new data, of course, as well. But that would suggest, or is there any guarantee that you will not introduce some bias? So if you had bad data that biased an estimate which you then used at the subsequent time step, you could get some propagation of that that bias into later estimates. Is there a guarantee that does not occur?
There is no guarantee, but except that we have some simulation evidence that this recursive computation of the pseudo measurements that are replacing SCADA for the some time, they show somehow effect of the Kalman filter. So if the bias is present in the measurements, it somehow dies out. Of course, in the four steps, it will not completely die out, but we certainly have to at some stage also compare our algorithm with the extended Kalman filter. That is much natural formulation for this. So short answer is no guarantee, but we have some simulation evidence that it has some Kalman filter effect on the bias if it's present in the SCADA.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. And may I ask another question for Joe Chair? I don't work in PMU stuff, but working with colleagues in industry and the West Coast, it seems that the ability to obtain PMUs is straightforward because every digital relay these days has that capability. The issue becomes one of this cybersecurity, that they are not willing to have digital protection connected to a communications network that is vulnerable in the sense of being passing information across the substation fence. So, but you mentioned in your presentation that it's difficult to install PMUs. It seems like it's easy to install PMUs, but it's difficult to get the data available from PMUs. Could you comment on that?
If you do have certain kind, this is Joe Chow, if you do have certain kind of digital relays, it's easy to put PMUs on them. Okay. Now, the general comment on the cybersecurity issues of PMU data is this, that most of the companies already have figured out how they actually upload the PMU data from the substations to a central phaser data concentrator, and they normally have their own company network for doing that, because this is just like any other data that they have. So there are firewalls and other things, so those data entirely stays within the company. On the other hand, once the data is collected, then they will be sent on to the ISO or PSO, and this is the part where there's no this is you actually exposed to the worldwide world, basically the internet, okay? And but they typically use VPN, and they have reserved T1 lines and so on. They have not gone to encryption yet, but I suspect that it may be coming soon.
Rodrigo Ramos from University of São Paulo, Brazil. My question is to the last presenter. I've paid attention to your conclusions mainly, and one of them called has struck me as very important. The fact that if you have delays, the delays introduced by the PSS and PODs can make the system unstable if you add them into a control loop using PMU measurements. It's a well-known fact from control theory that depending on the amount of the delay of a control architecture, the optimal control can be a decentralized one. From your experience, I'd like to hear your comments on that. From your experience, in these cases, what would be the best solution for that? To have a hybrid setup, or to try and reduce the delays in the communication links to make the centralized control possible?
Thank you for the comment. Am I audible? Okay. Well, there is one installation of a POD somewhere in the northern Norway, I would say, and what they are using is they have a failover logic. So if there is a large delay in one of the wide area measurements, they simply switch over to the local measurement. So I would say that would be the answer, that if there is a relatively large delay in one particular measurement coming from the WAMP system, then you should simply switch over to the local measurements, because they are always available readily.
Okay, just quick follow-up. If you switch to the local control as some type of backup control, are you sure that you've tested all possibilities of switching and these interactions will be stable, will render a stable system? Because that, of course, can be a major problem.
That is true, because when you are changing to another measurement, another signal, you need to retune your PSS or PLD, for sure. But what can be an optimum solution to it is to use a mixture of the two signals all the time to the PSS and tune it in that way. Because in that case, even if you lose a wide area measurement, you can still get a best effort service from the PSS, from the local measurement at least. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I'm Glauco Taranto. Glauco Taranto, Federal University of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. My question is to Professor Sri Vastava. I just want to bring back the point that was raised by Sandro. We may be overlooking something here, but I'm looking the paper, and you have a 2x2. You have a 2-bus system in the Tevana equivalent. So you have the Y bus is a 2x2 Y bus, and you are assuming that you know that Y bus, right? And then you compute the Tevana voltage. Is that correct?
It's correct.
That's correct. Okay. So you can, so you can compute, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. My name is Thanos Koronidis from IPTO, Greece. All the papers have, and the presenters have to be congratulated, and the topic is also very interesting. Unfortunately, in Greece, we only have two PMUs installed, one by the area of Athens and the other by the area of Thessaloniki in the north, where we have all the interconnections. Fortunately, I got the information this morning that we are going to hook this information from the PMUs to the SCADA. I don't know how we are going to do that. Unfortunately, again, we cannot use them in the state estimator, because the state estimator is 20 years old, so it cannot make use of this. But anyway, the system of PMUs in Europe, including those two, are being monitored, observed, I would say, centrally in Switzerland by Swiss Grid. So from time to time, we get a phone call from a guy named Walter Seitinger from Swiss Grid, who says, "You guys, I have seen that the angle between north and south in your country has been increased. Typically, it's 6 degrees, and now it's 20-something. What is going on?" And then we detect and we tell him that one of the 400 or two of the 400 kV circuits between north and south have been switched off, and this is an explanation. And then I come to my question. One of the very basic uses of the state estimator is to provide a sound starting point for running a first load flow, which will allow you to run the contingency analysis after that. If you don't do that, if the state estimator blows, you don't, you cannot start the contingencies. I'm not talking about exotic things, area oscillations and stuff like that. And sometimes our state estimator blows because the topology error, because of a topology error. So my question is, if you are aware of algorithms, or if it is already solved, of ways of using the PMUs in the state estimator in the topology processor and detect status circuit breaker errors on instead of off and off instead of on. This is my question to all of you. Thanks.
Okay, let me first answer your question. Yes, I am aware of some publications, some works, and there are existing works on the using PMUs to detect the topology error. Okay, and we can be in touch, I can provide you, but it's not directly related to our work. In our work, we assume that the topology change is known. But another point that you said, that you have two PMUs, and of course you will not change your existing WLS estimator. What we propose, actually, it's we need to change to be introduced in the WLS formulation. But actually, you just confirmed that we were right. You are on the good track, saying that there are no enough PMUs. And by the way, we believe and we will test so-called extreme case when we have no any PMU. And in principle, this work should work only with SCADA, and only with one PMU, only with two PMUs, etc. The more PMUs, the more accuracy we expect. And that's one of the objective that we set, like having scalable method that is able to accommodate different PMU configuration, but also different SCADA gathering process.
So just to...
This is Joe Chow. Can I add something to the answer? Topology processor is still a challenge in the regular state estimation process. I actually have played with these things, commercial products and in wheel controller. And when we know that there was a line that got switched out, that's already switched out, but in that particular control center, the operator actually has to acknowledge that line is out before it will be uploaded to the state estimator data processor. So the natural thing is that I was sitting in the back and I say, okay, let's push the topology processor, and it just won't converge. It was just doing this thing, you know. Now, how do we go around it? Okay, so of course I'm talking about the phaser data only state estimation. A state estimator like that, you can always count on about 1% error. Okay, anything more than that, something is wrong in your network. Okay, either a line got switched out or PMU data were no longer available. So, and this will be only limited to your high voltage system, because when you get everything, but the regular state estimator has everything, and there are lots of these little inconsistencies in the lower voltage that create all kinds of silly things that if you apply your topology process all the time, you basically your state estimator will be running forever and not converge.
So just a quick comment, you know, if you have enough PMU, you can send the switch status if there is status machine is giving you a high error. So you can send the switch status and you know, IEEE standard allows to send a user defined input. So, I mean, of course, it will need a flexible design for communication and also for PMU, but I'm working on that project right now.
Just one more information, just what came to my mind is I could refer to work, recent work on Overby that is very interesting and practical in my view about detecting the topology change with the limiting number of PMUs.
Yannis Kaboulis, IPT Ogris. I'm not an expert. I have some experience from monitoring the oscillations in Europe by the PMUs. I think that it is a really a breakthrough. I think it's a cheap technology. Maybe sometime we will have a lot of such devices everywhere. So a lot of procedures will be changed in protection, in estimation. Maybe it will be state confirmation in the future. My question is why we go so slowly in that process. I think the problem is telecommunications and standardization of the devices. And I would like to know, to your opinion, if to your knowledge, if there are any how to say any activities to standardize the PMUs. I think it's a very important step.